বন চারি যমুনা তীর বন চারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় রাধা মাধব কুঞ্জ বিহারি জয় ওম বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজগাচার্য অষ্টোত্তরথ শ্রী শ্রীমতি ডিভাইন গ্রেস অভয়চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামী শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কি জয় অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয় নামাচার্য শ্রী হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয় গ্রন্থাদ শ্রীমদ ভাগবত মহাপুরাণ কি জয় অল টু সম্বল ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরি টু সম্বল ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরি টু সম্বল ডিভোটিস অল গ্লোরি টু শ্রী গুরু অ্যান্ড শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায় Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 12. Srimad Bhagavatam summarized, text number 4. Atra Brahma Param Guyam Jagataha Prabhava Apyayam Gnanam Cha তৎপাখ্যানম প্রোক্তাম বিজ্ঞান সংযুতম অত ব্রহ্ম পরম ঘুয়ম জগত প্রভবাব্যপ্যম জ্ঞানম চ তত উপাখ্যানম প্রোক্তম বিজ্ঞান সংযুতম অত্র ব্রহ্ম পরম ঘুয়ম জগত প্রভাব্যপম জ্ঞানম চ তদ উপাখ্যানম প্রোক্তম বিজ্ঞান সংযুতম অত্র ব্রহ্ম পরম ঘুয়ম জগত প্রভাব্যায়ম জ্ঞানম চ তত উপাখ্যানম প্রোক্তম বিজ্ঞান সংযুতম প্রোক্তম বিজ্ঞান সংযুতম অত্র ব্রহ্ম পরম ঘুয়ম জগত প্রভব্যাপ্যয়ম জ্ঞানম চ তত উপাখ্যানম প্রোক্তম বিজ্ঞান সংযুতম অত্র ব্রহ্ম পরম ঘুয়ম জগত প্রভব্যাপ্যয়ম জ্ঞানম চ তত উপাখ্যানম প্রোক্তম বিজ্ঞান সংযুতম লেডিস অত্র ব্রহ্ম পরম ঘুয়ম জগত প্রভব্যাপ্য জ্ঞানম চ তত উপাখ্যানম প্রোক্তম বিজ্ঞান সংযুতম অত্র year. Brahma, the absolute truth. Param, supreme. Guhyam, confidential. Jagataha, of this universe. Prabhava, the creation. Apyayam, an annihilation. Jnanam, knowledge. Cha, and Tat Upakhyanam, the means of cultivating it. Proktam, are spoken. Vijnana, transcendental realization. Sanyutam, including. Translation. This literature describes the mystery of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of the creation and annihilation of this universe. Also presented our divine knowledge of Him, together with the process of its cultivation and the transcendental realization one achieves. The following topics are also narrated: the process of devotional service, together with its subsidiary feature of renunciation, and the histories of Maharaj Parikshit and the sage Narada. Also described are saintly King Parikshit sitting down to fast until death in response to the curse of a Brahmana's son, and the conversations between Parikshit and Shukadev, who was the best of all the Brahmanas. Text 7. The Bhagavatam explains how one can attain liberation at the time of death by practicing fixed meditation in yoga. It also contains a discussion between Narada and Brahma, an enumeration of the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a description of how the universe was created in progressive sequence, beginning from the unmanifest stage of material nature. Purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that it would be difficult to give a complete list of the numerous accounts of and topics contained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it is understood that Suta Goswami is merely summarizing the topics. We should not consider the topics he fails to mention here less important or superfluous, since when every letter and word of Srimad Bhagavatam is absolute, Krishna conscious sound vibration. Om Ajnanati Mirandasa Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and he was conducting these initiation ceremonies. There is a Swami who had decided to become a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And he went close to Prabhupada to take his beads. Prabhupada just turned and looked at him. because there was a odor coming out from his mouth, which was unhealthy. Prabhupada said, infection. He said, infection. And then he gave his name. Your name will be Atma Tattva Das. In the class which followed, Prabhupada explained that material life is infection. Very nice way of how the acharyas can look at a life. People say life is meant for enjoyment, life is meant for... People can say life is meant about so many things, they can talk about life. But Acharya, how he sees life, material life means infection. Transcendental vision, Shastra Chakshusha. Right? So, this particular section which we are reading right now is summarizing, just like we have Gita summarized, second chapter in the beginning. Sukadeva Goswami has spoken extensively. We can see only few pages remaining. So this is probably the last momentous hour at Shuktal, when the most awaited event of Takshak coming in and biting and apparently ending the life of Parikshit Maharaj is about to take place. So there must be some sense of, I don't know, but, you know, in one sense everyone is very absorbed, right? So they were not even actually aware what's going to happen. And yet, on a material level, things are going to happen in a very short time. And here is this personality, Shukadeva Goswami, speaking to a person who has become free from all infection. He's completely purified. There is no trace of infection in his... What is infected? Just that the body gets infected by sores, the liver can get infected by viruses, the stomach can get infected by food poisoning, bacteria. Right? So the consciousness is also can be infected. So what are the infection of the consciousness? It is infected by what we call as material desires. That is infection. And what is the cardinal symptom of this infection? The cardinal symptom of this infection is forgetfulness. That means the moment you get this infection, you just forget your identity. You don't know who you are. Right? And the manifestation of that is that you start thinking of the whole world and the things around you in terms of I and mine. Parikshit Maharaj has now come to a state where he is no longer thinking in terms of I and mine. He has lost Sarvapadi Vinirmuktam. He is not thinking, I am a king, I was a samrajya, I had a samrajya which of the whole planet, and I have children and I have got armies and treasuries and elephants and I mean, what does a king of the world not have? He has everything at his tip's fingers. Everything belongs to him in one sense, on behalf of God of course, but everything belongs to him, right? And yet, he has successfully, in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, clipped off and trimmed himself of all these attachments, and he is now living like, what is his state now? Pure consciousness. Uninfected consciousness. Prabhupada gives example of the raindrop falling from the sky, how it falls from the clouds. If you were to go out of the airplane and put a glass out when the rain is falling, you will get pure H2O. Right? But as it goes down the atmosphere, it gathers hydrogen sulfide and sulfur dioxide and CO2 and whatnot, all sorts of toxic gases, right? And it comes around, falls on the floor, when we go into the jungle or gutter or wherever else. And so the identity is completely changed. But now Parikshit Maharaj is now in its pure state and therefore is no longer affected. So the sloka which we are reading today is telling us that this is the result. This is the result. What is the result? If there is a process, then there has to be an end point of the process. What happens at the end of the process? After I do my 12th standard and I do my undergrad, Then there is a process by you go to entrance exam, and then there is a process by which actually I get a certificate. What happens? I get a certificate of a degree, and a postgraduate degree, so and so. So there is something happens, has to happen in the end of the process, right? Otherwise, if there is no end to the process, then the process has no meaning, right? So what happens to a person who has accepted the process of bhakti yoga? What happened to Parikshit Maharaj can happen to anyone who does this, right? It says very clearly here. And the transcendental realization that one achieves in the end, that happens. Right? So, in summarizing the various topics given over here, the Bhagavatam is, when you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, we are automatically reminded of Srila Prabhupada's gifts. What kind of treasure has Prabhupada left behind? For several centuries, millennia rather, right? This Grantha was hardly known to mankind. It was there in this world, but was absolutely unknown that it even existed, except among some very, very handful of people who would understand what Bhagavatam is. It was never ever available or known to the mass in general. The masses only knew there's a book called as Bhagavad Gita. But Bhagavatam was an absolutely oblivious type of scripture, not known. From that state of oblivion of the entire human civilization, to bring it to a level where now Srimad Bhagavatam is read, practiced and lived by thousands of people in the world today. Tens of thousands of people are living and basing their life on this life manual called Srimad Bhagavatam. What a revolution. Radha Maharaj says that we have inherited from Prabhupada. What we have is inheritance. So we as children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren of Prabhupada, what have we actually inherited from this one person? What things he embodied? Just like the sun gives out energy, or a prism gives out various lights, seven colors of lights, right? Prabhupada was such a multifaceted personality. What actually he gave to the world? He gave the finest temples the world has ever seen. He gave the most beautiful deities which now decorate the altar in the homes of practically tens of thousands of people in their homes. Right? He gave us the books which mankind needs as a roadmap to fulfill the very mission of human existence. He gave us a lifestyle. He gave us a purpose. Right? He gave this one man, we cannot think of another parallel of one saint having given out profusely so much to humankind. This is the maximum a person can ever give out. Again, max, human max. Any human being, what can you give out? Okay, you give out something, you know, made some fact. You did this, you did that for the world. Yes, there are many people who are doing many things for the world. No doubt, right? But when you compare the legacy he leaves behind, there is no comparison. A book like Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Krishna himself. The Bhagavatam contains 10 topics, as we know. Sarga, Visarga, Uti, Poshanam, Sthanam. Then you have Ishanukatha. But the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam ultimately is the last one, which is Ashraya. So through the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada has given us and the whole planet a level of beautiful Ashraya. Because Durashraya hai bahir arthamanina. Because a human being is Durashraya. He has no Ashraya. There's no stability for him to stand on. What is going to stand on? Right? There is no platform to stand on in this material world. Everything is fallible and falling. Right? Everything is falling. Whatever he holds on to will fall, will drop. It's ethereal. It doesn't exist because it is an illusory world. If you're holding on to illusion, how can that give you ashray? Very simple. You're holding on to illusion. You think this is my ashray. But it is illusion. Right? You cannot hold on to illusion and feel sheltered. And therefore, no one in this world feels sheltered. And the Bhagavatam so graphically shows how from the most powerful man in the creation, Bhishma Dev, in the first canto, to a small child, Nirashtraya, Dhrumar, in the fourth canto, right? To a helpless, pious, but now sinner, Ajamil, who has no ashram at the time of death, a very thin body, non-muscular, five-year-old boy, Prahlad in the seventh canto, completely helpless, Nirashtraya, right? The most powerful, immediate contrast is the powerful demigods who are like, who can crush mountains and manage the entire creation, helpless in front of a poison, right? Nirashtraya. The king of the planet, Ambarish Maharaj, helpless. And a simple but strong elephant somewhere in the, in the remote mountains of this Swargaloka, helpless. So whether you are a powerful warrior who can even fight with somebody as powerful as Parshuram, or a helpless elephant, or a helpless child in a palace, Hantayam Adri Abala Haridasavaryo, or you are just a Abala, a simple woman. Right? See the spectrum of the Nirashraya process. The spectrum is so wide. No matter who you are, or Abala or Bhishma, who has indefatigable power, both are subject to the process of being Nirashraya. And both need Shram Ashraya. So actually, this scripture is to be approached in the mood of taking ashraya. Right? Yes, it is for hearing, it is for relishing, it is for discussion, it is for spreading. All this process, the mood, internal mood is when I'm doing all these things which are important, whether it's madanam or it's nididhyasanam or it is whatever else, kirtanam or whether it's smaranam, right? Any of the five processes which we are following, right? Which is called as Swadhyay, five parts of Swadhyay. But in order what part of Swadhyay you are following, the underlying principle is to take Ashraya. Why? Because Ashraya, why is that important? Because Ashraya creates in the heart a sense of receptivity. Right? Only when you are taking shelter, when the doctor comes in, you are taking Ashraya of him. I have been vomiting the whole day yesterday. My God, I'm dehydrated. I'm weak. I can't eat anything. You're taking ashraya. Please give me some intravenous fluids, some antibiotics. You take ashraya. You're receptive to what he will say, what diet he will recommend, what antibiotic he will give you. You are ashraya because you are really suffering. Right? Or a child is crying helplessly somewhere in the absence of his father and mother. He is just like, he's taking ashraya. He's receptive. Right? So if you don't feel the need to take ashraya, all these things may remain superfluous to our consciousness and not really touch where it's supposed to go. It will say percolate. Water has to percolate. We put water in the soil, but it is of no use if the soil is so hard and so rocky and so stony and pebble filled that it won't even reach the roots. So you have to keep on tilling the land. Letting the land creates a sense of receptivity between the water supplied and the roots thereof. And therefore the water will reach the roots. So our root of existence is our soul. It's a root. Our root is a soul. Right? Everything else is like the soil and all that which is above it. Right? The foliage and the trunk. But the root of our existence is the soul. So this has to reach our soul. But we feel the need to take ashraya. Right? When Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, was at Cochin,
we can only imagine how happy he must have been at Cochin, right? The ship left at Kidarpur Airport. Port, right? And I think it was 13th August 1965. That special day, historical day, right? And within I think 4 or 5 days, it reached Cochin, where the trunks of Srila Bhagavatam were loaded on Srila Prabhupada's Jaladuta. They were not taken from Kolkata. For some reason, they may have been there, maybe the printing or whatever, right? And that's the day Prabhupada felt confidence, right? How would Arjuna feel without his Gandiva? He'll feel a sense of lack of confidence. I need my Gandiva, come on. This is what I'm trained for. This is what I'm going to shoot from. And you imagine Bhimsen without his Gada. Of course, he can do a lot of without that also, but for him, still that Gada is like his trademark. He needs that Gada. When he gets Gada in his hand, he's here, yeah, now I can smash any guy, any elephant, any mammoth, I can just smash him. Right? He feels confidence in doing that. Right? So Prabhupada felt the Bhagavatam gave him. For a warrior, he goes out, he has his AK-47 or some machine gun, he feels confidence. If he just goes out without his ammunition, oof, it is a boom, 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 you know. No, he's not going to be able to fight anything. So here is very elderly, great personality. He's going out there all alone on a terrible battlefield. To fight whom? To fight the entire material energy, single-handedly. He challenged. You know, we cannot challenge a gunda on the road also. You can't challenge a dog. You can't challenge him, but they'll tear you to pieces. You can't challenge anybody. What is our power to challenge anybody? But he was challenging the entire material energy, wholesale, one person. But he wasn't depending on his own strength. That's the point. For him, it was this grantha. He had taken ashraya of this grantha. And he was going to share that ashraya, which he had amply received in his own heart, coming from the parampara, and give that ashraya to the whole world. That he was going to do that. Right? Because he was convinced that without Krishna consciousness, there is no sukha in this world. The Chaitanya Sadnamrita says that. Apara samudra dina hina daya moy. Krishna kripa vina kono sukh nahi hoy. How beautiful. How beautiful. Right? How conclusive. How powerful. How solid. How authoritative is Kaviraj Goswami. Very clear. The beauty of Bhakti Yoga is that everything is clear in Bhakti Yoga. As against Mayavad, where everything is unclear. You just go round and round and round and round. Some of us have read Mayavadi's, you know, scriptures, right? Before we came to the Bhakti school. We know how confused we were. What is this guy saying? What am I supposed to do? We're just saying so many things here and there. Every philosophy practically is just juggling of words, according to Prabhupada. They don't just come to the truth. But Prabhupada is absolutely clear as the sun. So this book is called as clear, as brilliant as the sun. That's it. When the sun is shining, you know, you don't say, kidare, kidare. Everything is bright, everything you can see, everything becomes known to you because sun is shining. So everything is absolutely clear. So this is Runodika, right? This is the sun shining. In the absence of Krishna, the sun gone. But when Krishna goes, he leaves with another sun. Right? Arunoditaha. Aruna means the sun. So when he left behind another sun. This world, even in Kali Yuga, which is called a dark age, is not actually dark. This world can never ever become dark. There will always be some pure devotee in this world who giving out the pure knowledge. Right? This world will be destroyed if there is no pure devotee in this world. Right? There has to be at least one Shuddha Atma who will sustain the purpose of this world. The purpose of the world is reformation from the prison house. But who will give out this knowledge? Who will give out this example? Who will give out this ashraya to people? There has to be one person doing that. So Prabhupada said, even if I make one pure devotee, I'm all right. perfectly all right. With all that I have done, the struggle, my life, 1922 onwards, till date, whatever I have done, 40 years, 50 years, slog, 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 failure, 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 right? Heartburn, 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 heartbreak, 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 all that and more. See if I can make just one pure devotee. They can have one moon. I want to make at least one moon. Because stars, you know, they are there and they're nice. But they can't illuminate the surface of the globe. But one moon can. During Purnima night, we go out. It is so beautiful. Everything is illuminated. Soft, nice, cool. Right? That is Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada created one moon, not one moon, but many moons. Giriraj Maharaj wrote a book like that. Many moons. And some of the moons are in this room. Some of the moons are in other parts of the world. These are the moons which are being created. Right? So that's how Prabhupada has given us this ashraya. And we can see Mahaprabhu Chaitanya is the personification of that Bhagavatam. So Krishna is the Son Himself, and He left. And left in Srimad Bhagavatam. So somebody has to embody that Bhagavatam. Someone has to live that Bhagavatam. Someone has to be the personification of that Bhagavatam. Right? So that people can see, oh yeah, this is what happened. This is what happened. And that personality is Lord Chaitanya. Who thought, lived, spoke, existed, complete Srimad Bhagavatam in practice. So in your newspaper you have page 3, right? So everyone looking at page 3. What are these guys doing, you know? What type of party they have? You know, who's meeting whom? And what is the latest juice in that glamorous world? So this is our page 3. Lord Chaitanya. What are our page 3 people doing? Huh? And he sits there at Totha Gopina temple. Who are the page 3 people sitting there? Not some, you know, insignificant ladies, you know, or some simple people, fishermen. Oh, scholars of the level of Sarvam Bhattacharya is sitting there. The greatest Harinam Pracharak, Thakur Haridas, is sitting there. The greatest singer ever born, Mukunda Dutt, is sitting there. The commander in chief of the Vaishnavas, Prakhar Acharya, Adhut Acharya is sitting there. Right? The most powerful, pure Brahmachari, Vidhara Pandit, is sitting there. Right? Of course, when Rupa Sanatana was there, Sanatana Goswami, he was sitting there. Puri, he was staying there. Right? So these are the people sitting in that Sabha. And of course, Lord Nityananda is there, who's Balaram personified. Right? So these are the people who are sitting there. And what are they really doing? This is the role model. What are they doing? They are relishing. They are not gossiping. The latest stuff going on, right? The material world is all about Prabhupada. All this crosswords. If Prabhupada was around at this time, I don't know how we would have seen the social media stuff. You know, he would have really blasted the social media thing so badly. Prabhupada was a completely non-compromising, so non-compromising. He never minced his words, ever. He didn't know how to do that. Call a spade, absolutely. You know, they didn't call, say, oh, well, it's not a spade can also be like a rod, but, you know, just dig around, things like that. Spade is a spade, right? So this, most of social media is basically just so much of gossip. No, they were not doing that. They are all doing only Krishna Katha. Right? Gita Bhagavad Gita says, what does it say? Machitta hamadgata prana. Bodhantascha parasparam. Kathayantascha mam nityam. Kathayantascha. Ishanu katha. Srimad Bhagavatam. Parla, Dhruva. Again and again reciting. And when the Bhagavata Shraya, the devotee, he was, you know, I think it was at Narsingapura or Mamanpura, that place. I don't remember what place it was. Mahaprabhu just passing by that village, right, all alone. And from one house, this loud, you know, speaking of the Bhagavatam going on, this Brahman is chanting all the slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Your favorite song is singing, you know, years ago there, right? Or your most loved person is speaking, what is she saying? What is he saying? Right? Even in a crowd, when your ears automatically get, you know, your frequency of your consciousness get tuned into the places which are of interest to you automatically. That's the way consciousness is built. Right? So moment he was walking, he didn't expect that, you know, in the middle of nowhere, in a simple village, there'll be somebody saying Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And he was saying Srimad Bhagavatam. And Mama said, wow, he's like an attracted, like a magnet, attracted. Right? And he's hearing that. He said, recite more, recite more, recite more. And when somebody is actually on that level, he's not hearing. He's actually experiencing. Hearing is something we do with our ears. But experience with your heart. Lord Chaitanya was experiencing Srimad Bhagavatam. And the only thing that can happen when you experience Srimad Bhagavatam is only one. Only one thing can happen. What is that? Ecstasy. Because you're experiencing whom? You're experiencing Sakshat Krishna. And anyone who experiences Krishna can only respond by showing symptoms of ecstasy. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. Like Janakidas Prabhu says, you know, how should we respond when you open the curtains in the morning? You fall like a rod. Tack. Try that. Your nose will bleed. You can't imitate that. But it means that you are just so enamored by that morning, that's or Radha Madhav or Radha Gopinath or Radha Bihari ji or Shyam Sundar ji or Madan Mohan. You're just so, wow, Krishna, this is Krishna. And you just can't hold your legs. It's like a free fall. You are not in any of the Deha Bhan is not there. Your Dehana Buddhi has gone. Right? You just see Krishna, you're stunned. You stunned. And what happens to you? Just fall. Tack. That's how we should respond when we have the Sringar Darshan. Because you're not seeing Krishna with your eyes. What are you doing? You're experiencing Krishna with your heart. Right? Mahaprabhu was not just singing the holy names and hearing the holy names. He was experiencing Krishna in those holy names. And therefore, he just, at Ramakeli and many other places, he just could not stop dancing. The person is standing there to give a message. Are bhai, not in this place. The king is there, the Namab is there, he's going to get crazy and he's a killer, he's a butcher, he's a cruel man and he's going to really maybe arrest you or do some harm to you, and he's just standing there to give that message. And at least he will cool down, calm down over some time, half an hour, 1 hour. Normally you get tired, standing there. Mahaprabhu is dancing, 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 dancing. The whole day is gone, he's not stopped. He's wondering what's that. After some time he goes away, he said, no, well, this person is going to stop dancing, right? So that is the uncontrollable ecstasy of a person who experiences Krishna either in the Srimad Bhagavatam or in his deity form, in the holy names or in devotional service. Ecstasy. Of course, devotees don't show that. They don't exhibit that. That's also part of our Gaudiya culture. We don't show that because people don't understand. Who can understand that behavior for somebody who's at the high level? People will always misunderstand. Oh, what is this, all this stuff? So then that's sort of taboo in the public. But Prabhupada already show ecstasy. Prabhupada did show ecstasy. He was chanting Atlanta. What are they singing? Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gaurachandra Sabayavatara Sarasiromani Kevalayananda Kanda. As he sings the song, he is not singing the song. That's the problem with all of us. We sing. We don't experience. That's what we are. We should all experience these songs when we sing them. He's experiencing Mahaprabhu's mercy. Where is he now? He was singing of Gaur Purnima in the first year when he was in USA, New York. When the first Gaur Purnima took place, Prabhupada reached in September 17th, right? First Gaur Purnima was the next 6 months was the Gaur Purnima. And he's thinking, oh, what's happening in Mayapur? And at God forsaken place in the bitter cold of New York. And it was one of the coldest years. The first year was the coldest year in history of 50 years. It was so cold. right? All alone in this dingy small little room, which they call it a gift shop, or Master's gift shop. Nobody there to help him, nobody to be with him, nobody to share anything with him. It's just complete loneliness in the remotest place you can think of, in the Bowery, right? He's thinking about what's happening there, right? But then when he sings, when he's at Atlanta, when he's singing this song, and now just this was, I think, in 1975, but I could be wrong, Atlanta, right? And now in just 10 years, Mahaprabhu's mercy has gone. Almost Sarvanagaradi Gram is already happening. Bhavishyamani is coming true. And just overwhelmed with that ecstasy, that how Mahaprabhu has given us mercy. He's not thinking of himself. He did it through me. He did it all this through me. This is not. He's nowhere in the picture. He's not thinking of himself. He is completely oblivious of himself. He's almost non-existent. Right? He just thinking of Mahaprabhu's mercy and starts crying. Starts crying. Right? Same thing happened at Gorakhpur also. So Prabhupada, devotees sometimes uncontrollably can they show some ecstasy. Right? But this is not a usual phenomena. Right? So as you were saying in the beginning, to be conscious, you say Krishna conscious. Yeah, Krishna conscious. But yes, what does Krishna conscious really mean? Krishna conscious means to really be conscious of the gifts, the opportunities, the grace which Prabhupada has left behind for all of us. That is actual Krishna consciousness in a very practical, tangible, realistic way. Because Krishna consciousness, like maybe a very ethereal, up there somewhere, we don't know where Krishna is, it's not to be seen. But when we access those opportunities and grace, that means whether it is a temple or the Srimad Bhagavatam or any devotional service program you're doing or some preaching work or the cooking work or deity worship, whatever Prabhupada has left behind for us as a wide spectrum of unlimited activities. What are the activities? They're activities which help us to connect to Krishna. We are disconnected from Krishna. Bhakti yoga means to reconnect, right? So by doing those activities, being conscious of Prabhupada's mercy with gratitude, when we undertake those activities, then we become conscious, right? When we become conscious of those things, that is really being Krishna conscious. Because we're accepting that with a receptive heart, we're taking shelter of that activity, shelter of the temple, shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, shelter of the prasadam we eat, shelter of the devotees which we are associating with, shelter of all that Prabhupada has left behind, as Maharaj says, inheritance. It's inheritance. Right? So, let us be prayerful, let us be conscious, let us be meditative, that Prabhupada has given us these things, and to absorb it in our own hearts, first of all, with a deep sense of gratitude and commitment to the process, and Prabhupada said, then share. Then share with others, right? You become instrument. I become instrument, you become instrument, you become instrument. Amar agya guru itarai desh. That gives the soul the greatest fulfillment. And when Krishna sees these two things happening, you are absorbing and you are giving out. You are absorbing and you are giving out. When you are absorbing, giving out. When Krishna sees this constant two-way traffic going on, that you are taking from him, from his acharyas, from his body, and you are giving out, right? Then he is attracted to us. The all-attractive Krishna becomes attracted to his part and parcel. That's what happens, right? And when you attract Krishna's grace, then all anarthanivriti takes place. Everything that is desirable in the heart takes place, which we cannot do on our own, right? Then Krishna's sun shines brilliantly in the heart, and everything that is desirable by the Lord's grace will happen completely. And we will actually experience. Spirituality is about not knowledge. Spirituality is not knowledge. It is an experience of the heart. True spirituality in its highest essence is experiencing Krishna in the heart. Mama mana mandire adahone siddhina Krishna murari, Krishna murari. You want to make a heart into a temple where the Lord can reside always. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes, Rupi.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class and how you brilliantly brought about the glories of Srila Prabhupada and how he brought the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's very amazing. Just one question that we always hear about Durashraya and taking shelter in the holy name and the things which are eternal. But somehow, living in the material world, it's always like you feel like everything is, we know it is temporary, but at least what happens is usually we take shelter of something and then that thing falls. And then we find another thing. So it seems ki chalo theek hai, thodi samay ke liye hai, phir ye, to ek ek karke, yani we keep on trying different temporary things. So it seems like a constant something is, we have found something, so that illusion covers. So how do we get ourselves convinced that actually everything is going to fall apart? And actually take shelter of something eternal. So how do we get ourselves like thoroughly convinced?
That will only happen when we appreciate the eternality of the soul. If you think you are the material body, that means it's temporary, right? Body is temporary. As long as you are thinking you are a temporary body, you will end up taking only shelter of temporary things. Which will always keep on, as you said, shifting, changing. The moment we realize that actually we are the spirit soul, what to talk of taking shelter? This body itself I can't take shelter of. This body will be lost very soon. I will be on the funeral pyre. Matter of a few days or months, years, I will be in the funeral pyre. I will be buried in the ground. So what to talk of the mind taking shelter of things, but this body itself will not last. You will not last. Right? So when you understand that you are a spirit soul, then you, if you are eternal, then you need eternal shelter. If you are a body, you need temporary shelter. I need some food, I need some house to stay, I need a good married life, I need this, I need a car. And then, as you said, it keeps on shifting. But because it is on the material platform, it can never give fulfillment. It can give satisfaction. Right? You can go to the, you can have the best of all that and still feel nirashraya. And there are examples of scripture is full of such examples of people who have had everything. But they felt nirashraya. They didn't feel that. Right? Square peg in a round hole is a mismatched situation. The spirit soul cannot experience shelter in the material world. It's just not possible. It's just not possible. They're two complete distinct entities. A spiritual being trying to be happy in a jail-like material world, with a comfortable jail, this and that. It doesn't, cannot happen. The moment we realize that there is something more to life than just the body, there's something more to me than this, this, that. Maybe he starts the first thing, I'm the mind. So you go a little subtle. Karma, then a little jnana, a little yoga. He takes shelter of the yoga process or the jnana process. He takes shelter of something. He knows that these gross things cannot make you happiness. So that is karmi. He rises from that. Prabhupada said karma, karmi, jnani, yogi, bhakta. Right? These are all processes where we are trying to take shelter. The karmi takes shelter of material things, material desires, fulfillment to that. A jnani takes shelter of knowledge, scholars, philosophers, right? Academicians take shelter of that. Maybe that will give the answer. So various philosophies, isms are created. So many isms, communism, capitalism, this ism, that ism, socialism. Maybe that philosophical understanding will help. Prabhupada wrote this book, Dialectic Spiritualism. Right, to show how even those philosophies were wrecked with so many faults. You would sit with Harikesh Prabhu in Sananda in 1975 December, right? And he said, come on, tell me what is this communism all about? Because Harikesh Maharaj is from, you know, exposed to Russian philosophy. Prabhu said, tack, 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 tsh, 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 tsh. Chop, 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 completely chopped off. Prabhupada, you're amazing. There's no argument remaining anymore which I can give. Right? So that ashraya also, Prabhupada would say, this is not ashraya. Because you can't be really truly happy. Then some people take it to the yoga. Then you define it further, take a Bhakti Yoga, right? So these are all process of people as they, depending on the level of modes which they are, they take shelter of different things. Right? Depending on the mode you are, take shelter of different things. Those who are gross, sinful, will take shelter of the bottle every night. And this is my shelter. And this is, that is only level for him is to take the bottle. Right? Some level in food is my shelter. But clothing and jewelry is my shelter. It gives me a sense of identity. I am so and so. Krishna Kripa Vina Kono Sukh Nahi Hoy. Kaviraj Goswami is very clear. Bhukti Kami Siddhi Kami Shakala Ashanta Krishna Bhakta Nishkavaiteva Shanta. It's very clear scripture is saying. And it's not just scripture, you can see it all around us. The moment you actually rise up through your modes and build mode of goodness, you said yes. All these processes are there. But the highest thing is the school of bhakti. Why? Because there you can experience the eternal personality. Eternal personality is Krishna. Right? Janmadi asya ataha. He is the cause of the creation. He is the one who is present now. He is the one who is going to always be there. Janma adi. Right? He is always the eternal. Chatushtaki Bhagavatam talks about that. Correct? He is always there. In the beginning, in the middle, in the end, he is always there. Everything else comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. But he is always there. So if I am eternal, then I figure out if Krishna is eternal, then, oh yeah, then I can have an eternal shelter in this eternal personality. Right? If I'm eternal, I take shelter of something temporary, it's not going to work. Right? I don't make sense. Just this morning, the question, without preparation, but this way. One of the ways you can think of it like that, Dad. Yeah? So something which is always. So what is real, that which doesn't endure is not real. What is that sloka? So that which is not real is not sustained. What you are saying is it is not real, because that's why you have to keep changing, right? Because it's not real shelter. If it's a real shelter, it would have been sustained. So that's a definition of sustainability. Sustainable shelter that sustains. Sustainable means it sustains. It keeps on giving you ongoing, ongoing, ongoing. Because if not real, it is not sustainable. So you have to keep on shifting. What is real? The real Vasta Vastu is Krishna. Because he is real. That's why. So, we take shelter of the real thing. Krishna is real. Krishna is not product of material energy. Right? Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavata Mahapuran ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.